Good morning and welcome to Piedmont United Methodist Church on this summer Sunday in July. It is also the seventh Sunday after Pentecost as we continue with this season after Pentecost. It is good to be here today worshiping together. God has given us another day to live in this world and to be a blessing. And let us be thankful for that. He has given us health and strength in our bodies to get up this morning to see another day. What a blessed gift it is to live one more day here. If you can turn with me to the announcements in the second page, those are regular announcements. The food bank collection that we do here is being donated to the place, a shelter for women very close by this church that we support. And also the school supplies that you all donated were delivered to the place, and they were very thankful for that and asked me to express their thank to the church for that. The books are available for sale if you want to give it as a gift or buy for somebody or for yourself. So please meet with me after service. It's $10. There are two books, so that will benefit the missions through our church. The cooking class and art class will have to be rescheduled until we find enough interest in it. And
we'll start the art back in August.
Oh, we start.
I've already talked to Vicky about it.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, we'll be there. Okay. Yeah, maybe Liliana and Guillermo can come too for the art class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's on a Saturday. So we'll put the August 3rd Saturday on there. Okay. Then cooking class we'll figure out as we get more interest in that. And the third Thursday lunch, I don't know how many showed up this time, but next month it will be on August 18th. We had four. Okay. Please join for a fellowship and lunch for that. And on the third Thursday of every month. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. We celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries. Can we do the lunch also? Are we okay? You're good? Are you all going to stay? Okay. So we'll have the lunch after service next Sunday and celebrate our celebrations of anything that we want to celebrate. We'll do that next Sunday. The attendance and collections are listed there for your continued prayers and participation. Let us continue to pray for the church and the ministry that God has given us to do in this community and also around the world. Let us pray for our church and also our church, United Methodist Church in large, as many of the issues are being sorted out. Let us pray for the leadership and the bishops who make those decisions. Are there any special announcements? And you know that Carol is not here today to sing with us, so you'll have to help us, help me, have to sing, preach, and do everything famous today. So, and Wayne is very good with his music, so he listens to me sing. Make me nervous sometimes, but we'll try our best, Wayne. Please pray for Carol, as I heard that she needs to have a surgery maybe.
In 2 weeks, she's gonna have a hip replacement.
Oh, okay.
She had one like 12 years ago. It has to be done again.
Oh, okay.
After the fall and aggravated.
Oh, it's something. So she fell and had a broken wrist and also damaged her hip, apparently. So let's keep her in our prayers for her treatment and the surgery that they're looking. If there are no other announcements, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Which is hymn number 170, Oh How I Love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
How I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in its sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God of eternity and our loving Father, we thank You for this beautiful time that You have given us together to come and gather in this church and also online to worship You. Thank You for saving us from the sins of our lives and also the victory over death that You've given us, so that we can experience the power of resurrection in our lives. We thank You for the good health and strength that You have given us in our bodies, Lord, to live in this world another day. You have given us the opportunities to be a blessing to this world through this life, and help us, Lord, to be faithful in using those times and opportunities that You give us, Lord. God, Father, You send Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of this world. Lord Jesus Christ, shine in us and through in our hearts and our lives, that we may be the beacons of love, peace, and justice with compassion to others in this world. Holy Spirit of righteousness, give us a thirst to spread Your love every day. Help us, Lord, to worship You in truth and in spirit. We pray for those who could not come here today and attend the service. Bless them wherever they are, especially the ones who are sick in their bodies. We pray for Your healing. Be with us and help us to worship You in truth and in spirit, to lift up Your name, let Your name be glorified, and the people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. As you remain seated, we will sing a song, Nothing but the Blood of Jesus, 362. Like I said, please join us singing loud so it can help us sing. Verses 1, 2, and 4.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Number four.
This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
If you all can turn to page 809, we will read the responsive reading, Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12, on page 809. If you are able, please stand and follow me on the reading. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth,
forever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to the dust and say, turn back, O mortal ones. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass which is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath, our years come to be an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 10, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger, the awesomeness of your wrath? So teach us to number our days that we may receive a heart of wisdom. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now as we gather together. God has given us the privilege to bring our prayers of blessings to thank him, at the same time also our prayers of concerns and burdens, and share with each other and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God has promised that he will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. And we trust in his promise that he will answer our prayers. Let us go to God in prayer with our requests. Let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns. The regular prayer requests are listed at the bottom or the last page of the bulletin. Please turn to that and let me go over a couple of items there. We already mentioned about Carol Clemens. Please keep Carol in our prayers. Ms. Lou texted me yesterday that she's having a cough and some headaches, and she tested for positive for COVID, but she said it's mild. So hopefully it will go away mildly, and let us keep her in our prayers. Let us continue to pray for George Varghese. You see that in bold letters there. He's still recovering from his surgery of his stomach. And surgery had a leak, I told you, and it's still not healed. We are praying for a miracle that he doesn't have to go through another surgery to fix that. It should have healed by itself. But whatever is causing him, please keep him in our prayers. He's been over 70 days now, close to 70 days, that he hasn't taken anything by mouth. Which is, you know, when I went and met him, that is the hardest thing he can do. And he can't even drink water. So that is what the trouble with that situation is. Pray for Harry Basur. They are not online today. I thought they were supposed to. He's probably going to have another surgery for his mouth. So please keep him in our prayers, and also Jan. Are there any other?
Yes, Jay. Yeah, I have one recovery with a friend of mine, Johnny Goddard. He lives over near Matt. He was putting up a zip line for his grandchildren.
Oh, yes.
And tested it, and it broke.
Yeah, he said.
And he broke several ribs, punctured lung, did some other internal damage, but he's recovering from it.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been a couple of weeks. But he's,
yeah, what's his last name?
Goddard.
Okay, yeah. Keep Johnny God in our prayers. Any others?
I have a blessing this week. My grandson Connor made a profession of faith, accepted Jesus as a Savior this week at Vacation Bible School. He's 17, so praise God for that.
Thank God for that. He accepted Christ and made a profession of faith. Connor, please keep him in our prayers. And how about you, Martha? I know you are waiting for your next round of chemo, right?
Well, I have a PET scan on Wednesday. I also have a prayer of concern. Rich's son, Todd, who's 44, had a heart attack this week and had to have two stents put in. He's still in the hospital because he also got COVID on top of that. So, but he is doing okay, and hopefully he'll be released next week.
Do you have his name?
Todd Barva.
Todd Barva.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll add him to the prayer list. Okay.
Thank you.
Please keep Martha in our prayers also as she is going back for her test. If there are no special callers, let us continue to keep our nation as a whole in our prayers, especially during this election time, that it will all be peaceful and also that the right people will be elected. Pray for the nation, our president, and many of you know that he has been tested positive for COVID. Let's pray for healing, and also the leaders of the Congress and the governors of the states and many others who make decisions. And also let us be thankful for our service workers, military, police, fire, for grocery clerks and also, you know, delivery clerks, trash workers, and many, many others who serve us every day. Let us be thankful for their service and also keep them and their families in our prayers for their safety. If there are no special call outs, let us go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments in silent prayer. And then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Thank you. Loving God, we come before you as your children with our prayers of blessings and also the prayers of concerns and burdens that we have. You give us this life as a gift in this world, and along with that, all the joys and the blessings that we enjoy in our daily lives is all from you and your gift, and we thank you for that. Along with that, we find ourselves sometimes in pain and suffering and troubles. Sometimes we are tired and weak and burdened with a lot of things. We thank you for always being there, comforting us so that we can come to you and give our burdens and concerns to you. You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good for us. We come before you seeking your presence in our lives, and we raise our burdens and concerns to you, Lord. We lift up all those who need your protection and guidance, and touch those who need your healing with your healing hand. Comfort those who are in distress and strengthen those who are weak, and empower those who are troubled. Let your Holy Spirit direct them for those who need directions in their lives. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ that you have given us, that we could ever thank more than anything else. Give us the grace to act in faith in that he is with us in times of our hurts and our griefs. We pray for those who we have mentioned here, particularly the ones who are going through difficult times with their health. We particularly pray for Carol. Thank you for holding her in your mighty arms from the fall that she had. She is recovering from the fall with her wrist and also her hip. We pray for your hand to touch her at this time and heal her completely. And as they are planning for the surgery, that everything will be done and will be successful as they plan to do. We pray for Miss Lou as we heard that she has COVID. We pray for your healing hand to touch her and recover her without any complication. Lord, we pray for all of those who are struggling and suffering through this pandemic. Bless them with your healing and comforting presence. We pray for George Vorgis, and we pray for your miraculous healing upon him, especially for the surgery and the leak. That you are the one who made our bodies, and more than doctors and any physicians in this world, you know our bodies inside out more than anybody. Touch him, Lord, and heal him, that the leak will be completely healed without any more surgery that he is to go through. We pray for Martha's grandson, Connor, and we thank you for showing him the direction in life and having the experience of accepting you in his life as Lord and Savior. Bless him, Lord, as he continues his journey of faith in this world, to be a blessing here and also bring honor and glory to your name. And bless his parents and Martha and Rich and all of those are raising him, and give him the guidance to raise him in your knowledge and spirit, Lord. We pray for Martha. She's going back for her scans and the tests. Bless her with your grace and the doctors and the nurses. We pray for a healing for her cancer, Lord. And we pray for your guidance in the future treatment program for her, and also Rich. We pray for Todd, as we heard about the problems that he's going through. Give her your healing, touch him with your healing hand, that he will be completely recovered back to normal. We thank you for your grace and mercy upon that family also. We pray for Joni Garter, as we heard about the fall that he had. As he's continuing to recover, we pray for complete healing without any complications, that he will be recovered completely, Lord, and pray for the family for your peace. We pray for all of those who are struggling with various illnesses and issues and problems in their lives. We pray for your comforting presence to be there, especially the ones who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. Bless them with your comforting peace and your presence. We pray for the world peace at this time, especially a lot of world leaders are talking different things about hatred and violence and wars. We pray for your spirit to move through all of these leaders and through this world, that we will experience a world of peace and joy in this time, Lord. We pray for the world leaders, especially pray for our president. We pray that you'll heal him from his issues that he's having now with COVID and the rest of the problems. Heal him, recovering completely back to normal. And we pray for all of those who are in leadership in our Congress, in our states, cities, and many places who make decisions on a daily basis that affect our lives. Give them your wisdom and your humility, that they will do the right things with humility and the good things that they can do for us, Lord. And we pray for your guidance for them. We pray for all those who are working day and night for our service, especially our military, our fire, our police, our grocery clerks and our service personnel, our healthcare people, many, many others. We thank you for their services and we pray for their safety. We thank you for this church and also the leadership of this church as we look forward to your guidance in the coming days that we can plan on for the mission of this church in this community and around the world. Help us, Lord, to use this place and also the opportunities that you give us faithfully, that we can reach out to more people who are in need. Bless us, Lord, to be faithful in the ministry that we have to do here. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Help us in our meditation of the word, in our prayers and songs that we sing, all bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, as we pray this prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. Scripture says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Everybody should give according to what God has given, for God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to bring a portion of what you have given us, Lord. You are you are the source of all that we have and we are. We come before you as your children with the portion of what you have given us, Lord, to use for the glory of your name and the blessing of this world. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we can ever deserve. Gracious, loving God, we understand that you call us to be faithful stewards of your abundance and caretakers of what you have entrusted, Lord. Help us to use it faithfully in this community and around the world to spread your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As you remain standing, we will read the scripture, which is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 8.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. Rugged places a plain, and the Lord of God will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.
It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God and living God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us and blessed us in this world to be life and spirit in our lives and also to this world through our lives. As we come before your word, we pray that you will give us a humble spirit and an obedient spirit, that whatever you ask us to do through your word, that we will do it and obey it. Help us, Lord, to be beacons of your love in this place and wherever you place us in this world, that will bring honor and glory to your name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 8, where we read the familiar passage that we see in also quoted in the Gospels, in all the Gospels. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low, and the rugged places will be plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. So this passage was quoted in the Gospels, particularly during the ministry of John the Baptist, who started his ministry, and this was quoted by all the Gospel writers because they were pointing the messenger being the voice in the wilderness being John the Baptist, who came to proclaim that the Messiah is coming and prepare the way of the Lord. And it says that in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway. A highway in the desert. It's a very interesting concept that the prophet is talking about, a highway in the desert. We all have highways that we are used to, and many of us don't like it. We try to avoid highways, many of us, I know, because even if it takes a little longer, we want it to go peacefully without a lot of traffic. Particularly, those of you drive in the highways of Atlanta, I don't have to tell you how horrific the traffic is, and the people driving without rules and directions many times, especially in the mornings when you want to get to work. You see a lot of craziness in this metro area. And in addition to that, you see a lot of construction everywhere. And some of the construction never stops. I don't know why. We have moved here probably for over 30 years now, and we still see the same spot in certain areas. It's construction, no, 400. I don't think I'm making it up. That 400, 285 construction area, how many years has it been like that? It's getting better. And thank God for the work that they're doing there. But is it ever going to stop? I don't know. Maybe not, because we are continuing to evolve and grow in our cars and traffic. So like I said many times, I don't like to drive, especially when I come to church or go to preach in a meeting somewhere. I ask my wife to drive because I don't want to get stressed out before I go someplace to preach, because I don't know what the words are going to come out like. So I have to be careful with that. So many of you know that, and it's not an easy thing about traffic. And I don't know if there's a solution to that unless we all try to minimize our cars and take public transportation or something. But at the same time, the deserts in the highways are more challenging. There are deserts in the, highways in the desert. The highways in the deserts are more challenging. Especially if you go to the Middle East countries, they're mostly desert places in Iran and Iraq and many Gulf countries that we have visited. We recently went to the Holy Land and visited Jordan. They have a good portion of that country is desert. And there is a highway there, a big highway in the country called the Desert Highway. And it is very hard to drive there. It's not because too many cars. not too many people driving crazily. It is because of the donkeys and the camels on the road. So that's a very different danger that they have to face and they have to handle there. Someone who recently drove there, from America, and I met him, and he said, it is not only the animals and the camels and all those things on the highway, they are lonely places. If you get stuck with something, you don't have any help. That is one difference. So it is also called the loneliest highway in the country. There is one like that in the US, believe it or not, in Nevada. One of the highways is about 60 miles or so. Nobody, no gas station, no human beings anywhere. I read about that highway. It's also called the loneliest highway in America. In this guy was, and I was talking to him in Jordan, that he said it's not just that. Also, as Americans or English-speaking people, if you go past a certain metro area on that highway, there are signs written all over the place, but not in English. It's all in Arabic. So what do you do? You know, if, so you can't do it much. So he said he stopped a policeman who was going by one time and asked him about the signs. He said, and why don't you just post some other language like English, the common language that everybody uses? And the policeman told him an interesting thing, that he said, the important signs are all in English and Arabic. When you see a sign that is just in Arabic, it means you don't need it. Just ignore it and go, move on. That's what he said, which is a good idea, though. So it is for people who can read Arabic, maybe something else that you don't need it, something that's not important. So these highways that I was talking about are different problems in different ways, constructions and traffic and animals and no signs or good signs or whatever it is. So these places are not fun to drive, but you have to go through these highways. In the days of Isaiah, the prophet was talking about this highway, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He was talking about a situation where the people of Israel found themselves in captivity. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, many of you know that name, who came and attacked Israel, the kingdom of Judah, and then he conquered them, and then he took a lot of people to Babylon, because he found out that the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were very smart people. So he took a lot of youngsters and skilled people over to his kingdom to use them so that he can build up his kingdom there. And eventually a lot of people found themselves as captives in Babylon as they were moved out of their native land to Babylon. And they were living there for several decades when they were looking and praying for a deliverance so that they can go home, go back to their native land. And that is when the prophet Isaiah lived. And he prophesied about a restoration and a redemption that God is going to bring. But at the same time, he's calling the people to prepare for that day when God is going to bring you back from this captivity to your native land. You need to do something. You have to prepare yourselves. So a preparation is needed for this to happen. And the prophet is comparing that to a highway that you need to build so that the Redeemer or the rescuer can come and restore you to freedom. And when John the Baptist started his ministry during the time of Jesus, just before Jesus started ministry, he was referred to as the one who was calling in the wilderness. And he was asking everybody to prepare your hearts and minds for the coming of the Messiah, to cleanse your hearts and repent of your sins so that the Lord can come and reign in your lives. And that's the highway that he is talking about, all the desert in the highway. A highway in the desert, a highway in the wilderness of this world. The desert places are not fun, as I told you. The adversity of our lives, the difficult burdens and the problems that we face in our world this time can only be cleansed and redeemed by Jesus, by the love of God. And that is what Jesus came here for. In order to do that, it is not our highways, the concrete highways that we drive on, are to be cleansed. It is our hearts that need to be cleansed, that the Redeemer can come. That is the highway that the prophet is talking about, and also the gospel writers are talking about John the Baptist. Into our lives and into our desert places, Jesus comes to us in the middle of our weaknesses and troubles, in the waste, and tells us that I am here with you. And one of the things that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And through me, I am the way to the Father in heaven. So without me, you cannot get in the kingdom of God. And that is what Jesus opened, that highway from this world to God. So we can all go through that highway, through Jesus Christ, to the Father in heaven. He also is the Emmanuel, saying that God with us. Jesus Christ came to this world to open the way to God, and he is God with us. He is also the way to God, the highway to God in this world, in this wilderness of this world. And also, he is the Emmanuel who is also present with us. So we are not lonely drivers in this highway, because Jesus is there with us, driving with us. But who is on the driving seat, that driver's seat? That is the important thing. If some people usually say that, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot. You know, you have seen signs like that, but that is the wrong concept. Jesus has to be your pilot. A co-pilot, sometimes we like Jesus to be our co-pilot. You know, it is good to be with Jesus, and it is good to have Jesus with us, and we like us. But we give him a place to sit and say that, Lord, you sit there. When I need you, I will let you know. That's the co-pilot, when the pilot needs something. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants to open our hearts and minds so that he can be Lord and Savior in our lives, that we can give our whole lives to him, that he can be the Lord of our lives. And the highway that he has prepared for us in this world is the highway that leads to heaven. God gives us promise and hope. And according, the prophet continues to prophesy in this book, saying that strengthen the weak hands and make firm feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful heart, do not be afraid. Here is your God. He will come and save you. A highway is created in God's plan to bring into our hearts and lives the power of God to redeem even the most troubled experiences of our lives. And then this is where we have come from and where we find ourselves in God's redemptive highway. But the road continues. The highway continues. Where do we go from here? As a church, it is not an institution. We are also supposed to be a highway for the people to know God. Open our doors, open and wide. And we have the open hearts, open doors, so that people can come through our doors and use the highway to God. So the churches are also highways. It is not just an institution. It's a road paved with thousands and thousands of Christians through history. But the church is a highway for the world to go through and to experience the love and power of God. It is a highway that takes the living presence of God to the parched and lonely lands in the desert. It is the highway that springs up the living water to the thirsty souls. And we are the ones who are the highway people, that we lead them to Christ. In the days of Isaiah, they saw the hope and highway as exiled prisoners returned from Babylon to the holy city of Jerusalem. In the days of Jesus and John the Baptist, they saw this highway born in a manger. He taught many things and lived a life in this world, suffering with us, and experienced the life of a human being and was crucified, dead, and buried. That was the highway. But in our days, we see God's highway of grace take shape in our own lives, in our own hands. Each time we share our resources, we volunteer our time, or help our neighbor in need, we become the highway in the desert, making a way for God's grace to enter this world. And as the body of Christ, we have a lot to work to do, building that highway for God's grace in our world today. For there are more today living without hope. Many are living in fear and anxiety, and it is our job and to take them through that highway to meet the Redeemer, our Savior. As people of God, We are invited to prepare the way in this world, to be the witnesses of the kingdom of God in this world, so that we can take others through that highway to meet the Redeemer. I read a book called They Met at Calvary by William Sangster. It's a very small book, but a lot of stories in that. And one of the stories in that, Sangster talks about a doctor, and the chapter is called Office Upstairs. The doctor is a doctor who actually started his practice in the Northeast, but like I said, the western desert areas of the country, like Nevada and Arizona areas, he thought there was a need for medical doctors because there are not many medical doctors in that area. So he moved to Nevada in one of those remote villages in Nevada on the desert land. And he started a practice there. And like I said, one of the areas that he moved is one of the loneliest places in America, that not many people live there. But he started a practice there to serve the people. As a young doctor, his practice of medicine there, and many people in that area were very poor. And his last name was Brackett. So Dr. Brackett never turned anyone away and went anywhere he needed. And he was on call pretty much in any 100-mile areas of the district. He would drive and go and meet his patients. And he did not make a lot of money, and that was not his aim or objective anyway, but to serve the people, particularly the Mexican American Indians and the refugees and the immigrants who were coming there with nothing in their hands. So Dr. Brackett's office was over a room on a gas station, a general store in that area. He had a small office up there. And then whoever goes to that gas station and the grocery store down there will see a little door that says Dr. Brackett upstairs. So that's how people find him. And he practiced there for decades. And finally, one day, he died, and they decided to give him a great funeral, and they did that. But the poor community did not have enough money, or they didn't have the enough resources to build a tomb for him. So one of the things that they were very sad about, that they could not build a good monument for him for his service. But one day, a lady who was walking by that gas station, she saw that board still, the sign still hanging there. And she saw the Brackett upstairs. She took that sign and put a big stand on it and went over to the place that was buried and erected that stand there, saying that Dr. Brackett upstairs, which is a very meaningful story, and I thought about it. Even though when he did a very self-sacrificial service and there was nobody to give him any formal funeral or a good tomb, he's still upstairs, smiling and serving and loving this world. That's the kind of highway that God wants us to be loving and caring and compassionate to the people who are in need. Many a times, including myself, we are tied up with our self-centered life. You know, what can I do, or what can I get? You know, what car can I buy? What house can I live? Those things are tied up into our self-centered lives every day. But beyond that, God wants us to open our hearts and our minds. There is a world out there that is beyond ourselves. And God wants us to prepare that highway through our lives so that others can experience the power of God's Spirit in their lives, and also the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. So as we go from this place, let us be that highway that God wants to prepare in this world, so that the love of God can flow through us to this world as we live in this world. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go, and be at peace. The closing hymn is He Leadeth Me. It is 128. If you are able, please stand. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, where I'll be.
swift is God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes it seems our deepest gloom, sometimes very dense flowers bloom. By water still or troubled sea, still it is his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Number four. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in the score wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
People of God, God invites us after all to show the world that God is coming near to this world through our lives. In our hands, in our feet, Jesus is walking and doing things in this world, and he wants us to be his instruments in this world to spread his love. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.
Have a blessed week.
Have a blessed week, Martha.